So I need to tell you about my dog's morning routine. That this is every morning he does this, and without prompting. So I come downstairs, I go into the kitchen and say, "Good morning, puppy. Are you doing okay? Did you sleep well?" I uncover him, and he starts to eat when he comes out of the crate. Immediately, he has to eat some food.
Okay.
And then after eating a little bit of food, he's like, "Okay, now I must go investigate the living room. Because while I was sleeping, you may have had snacks and dropped them on the floor and didn't pick them up, so I must eat them." So he makes a circuit of the living room, sniffing the floor. He is like totally like bloodhound sniffing the floor. This morning he found a single cat treat because Annie comes down and checks things out and she gets a cat treat. He eats the cat. Yeah, as she does. He gets the cat treat. I hear him crunch on it. And then he runs to the door to go outside and do some business before he comes back in and finishes or attempts to finish eating his food. This every morning he does this, every single morning.
So basically you have a live Roomba.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's adorable.
Yeah, he doesn't quite do as well because the ants, when it's ant season, they still show up and find things that he didn't. So.
Yeah, I feel ant season. I hate ant season.
Yes.
Little bastards.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway, so that's his morning routine. Every morning, every single morning, he does this.
Well.
It's the funniest thing. And last night, I had to take his potato away because he started trying to tear it apart. And I don't need him eating yarn and the stuffing.
Oh.
The crochet potato I made for him a while back.
Right. Well, just in case our listeners don't know about the crocheted potato, I thought that you meant a potato.
Actual potato. No. No. Not an actual potato. This is his crocheted potato that I made for a friend. He decided it must be his. And yes, it became his. He fell in love with that potato. He loves that potato. And last night he started trying to rip it apart. And I'm like, okay, no more potato. So when he went to bed, I threw the potato away, and I made a new potato so he could tear that one apart. Or he could have it until he starts to tear that one apart. Hopefully he'll like the new potato, which has no face or arms because the arms just make it easier for him to try and tear it apart.
Welcome to the Dog List with Patty and Bill. No, I get that. JJ tears apart all of his shit. You know, he's adorable, and our dogs have a morning routine as well. You know, and if I don't fulfill the routine, everybody is thrown off all day.
Oh, yeah.
But JJ loves his toys. And when I say loves them, he loves them to death. And he rips them apart and... There are pieces of toy everywhere.
Oh, man. The first
stuffing.
Toy, he did that. And then I got BarkBox toys, which have survived. They are well-built.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good.
I should
good.
Send you some of the excess BarkBox toys I have.
Yeah, that would be great.
I donated a bunch to a shelter, so I can... But I still have a bunch more because, you know, he's got specific toys that he loves, and then he ignores the rest, so...
Please do, and I'll tell you what. Then what our dogs don't use, we'll donate to Laura's shelter. I think that
sounds
would be
like a
lovely.
Great idea. I will.
Thank you.
Gather them. To
or
send.
Does it sound like a crate idea? That's why you tune in, folks, for the puns and for the occasional free breakfast. Welcome back to The Watch List with Patty and Bill. Make sure you smash that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can check out all of our past episodes and make your own watch list by going to thewatchlistpod.com. You can also engage with us on social media, @PirateAlice, @BillIveryLarson, and @TheWatchlistPod. And if you just happen to listen on Apple, please give us a 5-star review. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, sir.
I have to start off by saying, actually, mazel tov to our friend Zara. She gave birth this morning.
Oh, how exciting.
It is very exciting, and so far so good. Mom and new baby are doing very well. So I just wanted to say you have all of our love, and if you need anything, you let us know. But yeah, mazel tov. We've had a birth. Yay.
Woohoo.
Now, as you could probably hear in my voice, I am also getting over yet another cold.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Well, I went to a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you might as well just say, here, Bill, sniff this Petri dish.
Yeah, conferences, yeah.
So since I had COVID before, at least I was kind of, you know, like inoculated against that. But I came back with a cold and laryngitis and blah-de-dee-blee.
Lame.
But it was a good conference, though.
Well, that's good.
So
that's good. That was good.
But in recovery, so why don't you kick us off, as usual?
Sure. All of my things are movies, by the way.
What?
No TV series. The first movie is one that Dwight chose. Because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
And I enjoyed it, but mocked it the entire time.
Excellent.
This is on Amazon Prime. It is called Bottoms. It is a teen satire comedy. It stars Ayo Edebiri. She's from The Bear. The girl who is on The Bear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't pronounce her name. So it stars the girl from The Bear and other people I've never heard of before or seen. And it's about PJ and Josie. They are unpopular lesbian best friends at their high school.
Okay.
They're both virgins and both of them pine for the popular cheerleaders. And at the local fair, the girls witness one of their beloved cheerleaders having a fight with her boyfriend, Jeff, who is also the quarterback because, of course, that's how that works. So the cheerleader runs away and she hides in PJ and Josie's car. And Jeff is still angry and he's standing directly in front of the cart and in front of the car and he won't move out of the way. So PJ pulls forward incredibly slowly and bumps him with the front bumper. It just kind of like taps him. He falls to the ground faking this enormous injury as if he's a soccer player. And
Wow, did you just...
Yes, I
wow.
did. Wow. Yes, I
you
did.
You just lambasted all of Major League Soccer saying that they all overact. Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
So, of course...
Well, Lionel Messi, I know you listen to this show. Why don't you chime in, brah?
Yeah. So, the next day at school, of course, because they have ruined the quarterback... who is now on crutches, pretend, oh my God, he has taken it to the nth degree. Well, the rumors start going around that these girls, they are absolutely not, they are even more unpopular than they were before. And rumors are going around that they spent the summer in juvie. And when they're threatened to be kicked out of school by the principal, they make up this elaborate story that they were practicing for a feminist self-defense club. And then they create their self-defense club in the school and call it the Feminist Club. And this is where the insane wackiness ensues. Like, it becomes like an actual literal fight club there with all the girls. And the two cheerleaders show up to try and learn some self-defense. And, oh my God, it's the whole movie is crazy and wacky. And yes, I mocked it the whole time, like, this is the dumbest shit. Why is this on my TV? Even though I actually enjoyed watching this movie. It is called Bottoms. It's on Amazon Prime. It's only 91 minutes long. Really, it is actually very fun. Very, very fun.
Well, sweet. So the first thing I have is actually an amendment to something, and then the next time I'll get into something.
Okay.
We quit Shogun, man.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still watching it.
Are
you? I'm still enjoying it, yeah.
Does it get better? Does it get less boring?
Well, they got to set up everything and teach everybody about this, the history of this period. But this recent episode, that comes out on Saturdays, right? Well, this past one that I watched, I think it might be the fourth episode, maybe. Yeah. There is some good battling action going on. And some other action happens.
I'm just going to tell you, folks, it is beautiful to look at.
Absolutely.
It is posh. It is top-notch production value. You're going to see it at any time, don't you worry. Costume design, the whole bit. But my God, you have to slog through those first three episodes.
Yeah, it is a lot of slogging. Because it's establishing who's who and the hierarchy and kind of the history of that time. Yeah.
And I compared it the last time I talked about it to Game of Thrones, and I do not change that. But there was something about Game of Thrones that made it infinitely watchable.
I think even they put enough action in with some of the slogging, and they would have a good action filled, high energy episode followed by a slogging talking episode. This one, it's just like slog, slog, slog before they get into anything.
So, if you enjoy a lot of backstory, a lot of yammering, I mean, just like shut up and do something kind of yammering, Shogun is for you. It just ended up not being for us. Who knows? Maybe I will continue separately. Laura is done. It's just, and I was falling asleep.
Ooh.
And again, it's just that it was losing me because it's quiet, it's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they're mad, they're just kind of quiet. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, just bolt in, people. You need to get through at least three episodes before the major shit starts happening. And all, when I say all the major shit, I'm talking about all the shit that's in their damn promos.
Yeah.
All the action and the sword fights and the ship battles and everything. All of that must be in like episode 8. Because damn it.
Yeah. Probably got to get pretty far to get to that point. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably do. So anyway, so that's just a re-review of Shogun. Still top-notch, but damn.
Right.
I'm falling asleep listening to myself talk.
Oh, my. Aren't you?
Okay. What next thing do you
have? My next movie is also on Amazon Prime, and it's about 90 minutes long. It is called A Day. Kim Joon-young is a famous doctor. He's on a plane returning from a business trip. His daughter, Eun-jung, she dies in a car accident as he is on his way to meet her after he lands. Moments later, the day starts over. He wakes up on the plane again as it is landing, and this keeps happening over and over as he tries continuously to save his daughter. One of the repeats, the ambulance driver, Lee Min-chul, he grabs the doctor and he's like, "Why are you the only thing that keeps changing? This day keeps repeating and you are the only thing that's different every time." Well, it turns out that Min-chul's wife is a passenger in the car, in the cab, that kills Joon-young's daughter. And then the two start to work together to stop this from happening and end this day. This is really a fun, action-packed kind of movie. I like those kind of like day repeats type of things and time travel-y, timey-wiminess. And this one's a really fun one to watch. It's a little bit older. It's from 2017, but it's only 90 minutes and it moves really fast. There's no like slogging in it at all. It just like cruises through and is fun. It was a fun watch.
Cool. Well, that's way better than the next shit that I've got to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
When did this actually come out?
This year. Actually, late 2023.
Oh, okay.
When was
it released?
So it's
been out for a while, and I just totally forgot and missed it.
December 22nd, actually. So this movie is less than 4 months old, and wow. Now, when I say wow, and I know that there are going to be certain members of our audience that vehemently disagree with me. Shout out to David. I actually kind of liked this movie.
Oh, did you know?
recognizing that it is complete trash.
I see.
Let me put it to you this way. This is the underwater version of Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, okay.
And you can see, watching this movie, why they brought in James Gunn to take over the DC universe. Now, what that means for people who really don't give a shit about superhero movies and all that is that Marvel had it together at least through the end of Avengers Endgame. Now I think they're just like greedy fuckers who launch something every other week just to get an audience. There was no rudder to the DC universe. So you have movies that are great, like Wonder Woman, or the original Aquaman actually was really good, or Man of Steel and stuff like that. But it is just so far off the rails. And this movie steals from so much. You should make a drinking game.
Really?
Out of recognizing who they stole from in a particular scene. I kid you not. And the reason that I like this movie is because it is so bad and so steal, like it's so theftful that I had fun figuring out what movie they stole from in a particular scene.
Give us one example.
You betcha. And usually I don't, you know, spoil a movie, but I doubt that any of our 32 listeners are going to give a shit.
Well, it's old enough that I don't think it matters.
The very end of the movie.
Okay.
The very end of the movie has Aquaman at a press conference. And he is at a press conference because the world, the surface world has to work together with the undersea world to save the planet. Okay. But he stands up there and says, "I am Aquaman." And he does it in a very tongue-in-cheek way, like he knows he's ripping off the original Iron Man.
Uh-huh.
But it rips off The Matrix. It rips off, I don't want to watch the movie again to remember how many movies it rips off from.
You don't need to do that, but I just
needed
one example.
But The Matrix is in there. Just a ton of other movies.
Okay.
It's bad. But I liked it. I was entertained by it because it unabashedly and unashamedly went and tried to become Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2 and Part 3 or Thor Ragnarok.
Oh my goodness.
Like that level of humor and lightness combined with plot. It tried to go for that, and just like you're trying to jump a crevice and you think you're about to make it over, you fall right into the crevice and you die. That's Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was entertained.
Hey, if you were entertained, that's really half the battle sometimes.
I was entertained. Oh.
Uh-huh.
And it rips off from The Lion King, too.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
That's, oh. Anyway.
Oh, funny. So the next movie I have is on Netflix. It is 133 minutes long. It is called My Name is Lo Ki-Won. It stars Song Joon-ki, who is the star of Vincenzo. He is Vincenzo in Vincenzo. Great series, by the way. And this is based on a novel. This is not a true story, because at first I thought it was, and I Googled it, and it's not true story. So, Ki-won is a North Korean defector who escapes with his mom into China. And then things happen in China, and he flees China and lands in Brussels. And this is where he begins his struggle to survive while navigating through the government's process to become a refugee. And he has to wait for his next hearing, but they don't give him anywhere to live or help him figure out how to make money without, like, a work permit or visa. And it's bitter cold winter there in Brussels. This is a pretty bleak and depressing drama. It is bleak and depressing. He is continuously gets beat down, and he's alone in this foreign country. He doesn't know the language, and there isn't a giant Asian community to help him. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, in order to work and survive, he's got to do that illegally because he hasn't been given a visa to work or anything. Yeah, this was a long, depressing watch, but I kept watching it. I mean, I don't like saying I was entertained by it is hard to say because it's a depressing fucking movie. It's a kind of a downer, but at the same time, like I watched it and I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked it. It was good. It was a good, dark, bleak, depressing movie. I don't know how to make it sound like, yeah, you should watch it. I mean, it's, if you're into that kind of thing, I guess, yeah, you should watch it. I don't know how to explain it. Like a dark movie that way.
Well.
You know, like what? Like yeah. The Road? That was a dark, bleak kind of movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for TV series, The Walking Dead.
No, yeah, that's a dark, bleak kind of thing, but people love it.
Yeah. Well, they used to love it.
Well, yeah. Well, it's still going. They got even more shit now, honestly. I don't know how they keep making more different things. And they brought the Andrew Lincoln guy back, right?
Well, and that's what you had to do.
Well, he's got a whole separate series now. But I mean,
it's a mini series, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's a whole separate thing. He's not actually in the main Walking Dead or any of those others. But yeah, that's what this is, that kind of bleak, depressing thing. I mean, he stays positive through his depressing, bleak times. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to be like, yeah, this is great. Like, it's so much fun. Like, a day in Bottom, so action packed. But yeah, I don't know. There is a little bit of romance thrown in because you need that to help you get through the bleak, depressing shit.
Wow.
Yeah. So my name is Lo Ki-Wan. It's on Netflix. And yes, I believe this has a dubbed track into English if people need that.
Okay. The last thing that I watched was a brand new TV series. First episode, March 7th, is called The Gentleman.
Oh.
And it is on Netflix. And it's fucking amazing. It is from Guy Ritchie.
Okay.
And if you know Guy Ritchie's action-packed humor.
I do.
Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, I think, is Guy Ritchie.
I love that movie.
Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch. You get the point. But it is an awesome action comedy series. Starring Theo James, and you may know Theo James from the Divergent series.
Oh, yes. He's been in some stuff, and yeah, I like
him. He's been in some stuff and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are other... I'll tell you what. You just need to watch it because it is a kind of bonkers thing, and what happens is Theo James and a guy named Daniel Ings, they play brothers on this show. And there's a sister involved. Well, the father dies, and because they are British royalty, like Duke royalty, the fuck up brother thinks he's going to be in line to inherit everything, but they skip over him because he's also such a fuck up that it goes to the younger brother. Well, the younger brother finds out that their estate was one of 13 estates that's part of a drug empire. An underground marijuana drug empire. And he wants desperately to get out of this. So he is trying to work with the drug people to extricate him and his family and the estate from all of this. But in doing so, sets a course in action that leads to some pretty wild shit. I'll tell you what, it's like The Godfather met comedy.
Mm.
And it's just really good. It's well acted. Giancarlo Esposito is in this too.
Oh, nice. I like him.
You should watch this. It is absolutely worth a watch. It's 8 episodes. Each episode is roughly 42 minutes.
Oh, so that could go by pretty quick.
They can go by pretty quick, and a lot happens in each episode.
Oh, I like when that happens.
I love when that happens. So you feel like you're on this ride, and you go from 0 to 60 right away.
Awesome.
It's on Netflix, just dropped, called The Gentleman. Please watch it.
I will take a look at that.
It's very, very good.
My final movie is on Netflix, and it is called Damsel.
Oh, you watch Damsel?
I watched Damsel. This stars Millie Bobby Brown, Robin Wright, Angela Bassett is in this, and the voice of Shohreh Aghdashloo. She's from The Expanse. She's the Iranian actress who's got that deep, raspy voice.
That deep, raspy
with
voice.
With that hint of an accent. Oh,
yes.
She is the voice of the dragon, and I love her in everything. And in this, that is the perfect voice for a dragon.
By the way, folks, just the fact that Patty said she's the voice of the dragon should tell you what you're in for. Because we watched the trailer for this,
uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. There's a dragon.
Yeah. On Reddit, someone called it a Game of Thrones Targaryen origin story. And
okay.
If you Google Damsel, there's a ton of headlines from a bunch of articles about it saying it's a terrifying metaphor for marrying into a royal family. So Millie Bobby Brown plays Princess Elodie. She's from this far-off kingdom, and she receives a proposal from Queen Isabel of Oria to marry her son, Prince Henry. Well, Elodie's country is a pretty desolate place. They've hit some hard times. So her father urges her to marry this prince to help, you know, help their people. Well, okay. After the wedding, there's this ritual up in the mountains in a cave that the royals of Oria have been following for centuries.
Okay.
So she's told that this is to celebrate the royal union. Well, after the ceremony, the prince insists that he must carry Elodie across this little narrow pathway out of the cave. Well, as he gets to the middle of that pathway, he tosses her over the side into the chasm.
What?
And this is when all the action starts, as Elodie is fighting to survive in the dragon's lair. Mwahaha.
Mwahaha.
This is like action hero, Tomb Raider, princesses, like badass kind of a movie. It is so much fun. It's 110 minutes long, and it is just action-packed. It is so much fun. At first, I didn't quite recognize Millie Bobby Brown, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's totally her. And I have to say, for a girl crawling through a cave, being, like, getting burned by dragon fire breath, her makeup is impeccable through the whole thing.
Well, of course it is, because she's Millie Bobby fucking Brown.
And she's a princess. So that's how it has to be. But this is great. This is so much fun. I highly recommend it. You know what you're going to get, really, when you watch the trailer. And yeah, Damsel on Netflix. Totally, totally watch this. This is absolutely worth it. It is very entertaining. I can say this happily. It is highly entertaining, and you're going to love it.
Excellent. So did you watch the Oscars?
No. I did not. I was completely uninterested because I had not seen the majority of the movies that were nominated.
I watched the Oscars, and the only reason we did, so years and years ago, and I am not throwing that much shade toward Joan Rivers,
mm-hmm.
but I'm throwing a little bit of shade toward Joan Rivers. When she would do the red carpet arrivals,
uh-huh.
It was the Joan show. You're watching Joan Rivers because she is just batshit crazy, right?
Yep.
And since then, other channels have tried to get very over-the-top red carpet interviewers mm-hmm. to interview the nominees and attendees and so forth. And what I liked about it is that the channel we were watching, I think Was it E this time? I don't remember. But they were nice and laid back and gave you inroads to talk about the movies. And it was just very, it seemed very posh. So we were like, all right, fuck it. There's nothing else on. We're going to watch the Oscars. And I'll tell you what, that show moved in a way that the Oscars over the past few years have not.
Oh, really?
The show was quickly paid. First of all, they started an hour earlier.
Right. I remember hearing that.
Which was great. The actual show only lasted like 2.5 hours. Because they cut out certain awards, gave them out before. It moved. And people have been giving flack to Jimmy Kimmel. I thought he actually did a very nice job as host. You don't get... I'm sorry. But you don't hire a stand-up comedian late-night talk show host unless you want and are expecting a late-night talk show host comedian opening.
Yeah.
If you think that he is going to be any different, then don't watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's honestly not. They hire him to be him, right?
Yeah, he's going to have a opening monologue before the show begins. That's expected.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody was Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal hosted an Oscars like nobody else.
True, yeah.
So then they get into the show, and the first thing that amazed me was that they had five, for all the acting nominees, they had five previous winners in their category present the newest winner.
Yeah, they did that a few years back, I think before COVID, and COVID made it hard to do or something. And they've gone back to that, which I think is awesome.
I thought it was beautiful. And they seemed to pair who was introducing which nominee this year up pretty well,
yeah,
with the person who previously won.
Yeah, I heard Rita Moreno introduced America Ferrera. I heard,
yes,
about that and how wonderful that was.
Oh, my God. It was touching.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually so touching. And they were talking, like, Nicolas Cage, when they started to do actor, Nicolas Cage was talking about Paul Giamatti, what? And how Paul Giamatti wore a contact in his eye for the Holdovers, or the Leftovers, whatever the movie's name is, that made him blind in one eye. And he said, that is so Gonzo. Do you think that I would do that? You're damn right I would.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the audience,
like, yeah, yeah, he would.
Because that's Nicolas Cage, yeah, right? I loved how they did that.
That is cool.
The only things that I dislike, they fucked up the in memoriam section really badly this
year.
Did
they? See, oh, man. I heard they did a scroll of a bunch of names at the end.
Well, there was so much going on, and I hate when they do interpretive dance.
They did not do interpretive dance to the in memoriam.
Yes.
Yes, why? Why would you do that?
Not only that, you had Andrea Bocelli and his son sing Time to Say Goodbye. They're the big signature song by Andrea Bocelli, right? So you have so many things going on, and you're trying to film Bocelli, the dancers, and then the screen behind them, who is actually showing the people who passed away.
Those are the people that should be the focus of the whole entire thing.
The entire thing is based around that. So you could hardly read and see the names of the people who passed because they were trying to do too much.
Yeah, no, in memoriam should just be that film on the screen behind whatever's going on stage, and that's it.
Yes.
It should just be that screen. That's all we should see is the montage of each of the people and hear the music and the occasional, like, when people would cheer or something. There was always,
yes,
somebody who would cheer over someone that comes on the screen.
Right, and just have it be true,
yeah,
memoriam. And that's where I thought that they faltered. The last thing, why the fuck does Hollywood bring out somebody who is obviously batshit crazy to introduce Best Picture? They did it with Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. Now this year they did it with Al Pacino.
I kind of like how he just cut to the chase and ended it.
I see Oppenheimer.
And it is.
Like, wow, that's just it. Anticlimactic.
Yep, we don't need, you know, we've been, the whole climax has been happening the whole show. Who's going to win Best Picture? You know what? Just bam. This is it.
Now they had to say, now they had to come out and say that we had already talked about all the Best Pictures throughout the show. There was no need to relist the list. But from a PR standpoint,
you got to relist the list. Yeah.
You have to relist the list. But if you're doing that after the show airs, then that means enough people thought that that presentation sucked. And you have to go back and explain it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, true.
So why was Al Pacino batshit crazy and just go into the envelope for Oppenheimer? Well, this is what happened. And you shouldn't have to go back and explain it. If you have somebody's, all you have to do is just say to Al, just say, throughout the evening we have seen clips from the nominees for Best Picture, and I am here to present to this picture the Oscar. Mm-hmm. And the Oscar goes to, and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But they also did not show on screen the names of the Best Pictures.
Yeah, no, they didn't. It was just him.
I think they did, but for the most part, this Oscars was done extremely well. And as a blueprint to how to go forward, I think they're nailing the special sauce.
Okay.
So
they're finally getting closer,
They're getting closer.
Good.
And again, this is as somebody who used to make the Oscars a national fucking holiday.
Oh, yeah. You've been huge on the Oscars.
And then I cooled so much.
Yeah.
Especially after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see that shit. Oh, by the way, people, go online and look up Naked John Cena.
Oh, my God. That was something. That was something.
It was amazing. And I'm not intending a pun here whatsoever. That took balls.
Yeah, it did.
And on the 50th anniversary of the very infamous streaker on the Oscars with David Niven, I thought that they paid not only homage, but created one of the funniest bits.
Yeah. He shows up in Birkenstocks. That's it.
That boy was butt naked.
Yeah.
And with just an envelope. I kid you not. I was like, what are we watching? And I cannot look away. That part was awesome.
Yes.
So kudos, Academy.
Yes.
I still think you fucked up with Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although there was a theory out there that said, well, maybe Barbie didn't get nominated because it was a corporation-backed movie.
Oh, possibly.
You know, fuck Mattel. We're not going to give Mattel an Oscar.
Yeah.
All right, so I get that. But you still had one of the best song presentations ever in Oscar history.
That is what I've
heard. Ryan Gosling singing Just Ken.
Yeah.
And not only that, you had the other Kens from the movie in that musical number.
Yep, you sure did.
It was amazing, and an homage to Marilyn Monroe and Madonna. Holy shit.
Yeah. And noticed there were a lot of very bright bubblegum pink dresses on that red carpet. Probably
sure were.
You know, in homage to the Barbie movie. Like America Ferrera, she was wearing this bright pink number.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there was a joke made between, you know, Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling about how now Barbenheimer is finally over.
Yes.
And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that whole interchange.
And they had this banter, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, so even though I didn't watch the Oscars, clearly I've seen all the highlights.
You've seen all the highlights. But another highlight that you should watch is they nominated a Native American song as Best Song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
and it was performed by Native Americans, and it was a drum song ceremony type performance.
I'll have to look that
and
up.
And I thought that it was culturally so beautiful. And I'm because usually you're like, oh, why the fuck am I going to watch somebody sing their damn song? I wish they would get rid of that part.
Mm-hmm.
Until I saw Ryan Gosling do I'm Just Ken. But this, watch the Killers of the Flower Moon best song presentation.
Okay, I'll look that up.
It's wonderful.
Cool.
And I was rooting for that so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the very few Oscars that Barbie got, if not one of two, was from Billie Eilish.
Yes, yes.
And that was, you know, their biggest Oscar of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I thought that the Oscars, for the most part, the presentation, not the politics behind the Oscars, not the obvious snubs in their picks, the presentation and the show itself, I thought were good. And on that note,
I have a piece of news that David shared with us.
News.
So he shared with us that, you know how when you buy a digital movie, you're only getting a license for it and not actually buying it? Well, if Amazon's license to have it expires, you don't get to keep the movie. And they've been facing a false advertising class action lawsuit about this. And today, whenever this was posted, on the 15th of March, Amazon lost its motion to dismiss the case. So that case of digital license purchase only is might just change the whole buying a digital version.
Wow. Well, it really makes you know and understand that if you truly want to, air quote, own a movie, you need to still buy the physical disc.
Yeah, or whatever physical medium is the big thing at the time.
Right. Like, for some God knows reason, I still have four different versions of Star Wars in my house. I have a VHS, I have a DVD, I have a Laserdisc, and, well, not four, maybe three. Wait, DVD, Blu-ray, VHS, and Laserdisc. Yeah, four.
Yeah. Do you still have a Laserdisc or a VHS player?
I think somewhere in a box somewhere in unloved toys like Toy Story 3 and shit, I've got a VHS player. But long ago, I ditched the Laserdisc player.
Oh, okay.
But I only hold on to the Laserdiscs because they are the original Star Wars. No special edition, no fucking young Anakin at the end of Return of the Jedi, no. Mm-hmm. Just the movies I fell in love with.
Yeah, I think.
And that's why I keep them.
I think the VHS I don't know if I still have. Was the original movie, I think.
Now, the one that I can play are the original versions of the movies on DVD in the special and on the disc twos of the special edition DVD set.
Okay.
But they're in DVD quality.
Mm-hmm.
And DVD quality on a 4K TV is fucking awful.
Oh, okay.
Just saying so. But I'm going to keep them until such time that, and I truly believe that they're not going to do this until George Lucas dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a harsh thing to say. But I don't think while George Lucas is alive, Disney will ever release the originals remastered, but they would make a mint off of it.
They probably would, yeah. I'm sure of it.
That being said.
Because Star Wars people are collectors.
Yes, we are. We absolutely are. But that being said, I still have the physical media. And that is how I know I own Star Wars. digital copies, I gave up that ghost long ago. I know I own a license to view a digital copy of it. And the company that I have it with, Vudu, is actually changing hands to now Fandango at Home. I'm lucky that that's the one that survived out of all of them.
Yeah, and but hopefully they keep the license so you can keep watching it with your license.
That's right, because otherwise, oh well, your digital library's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, poop. I it sucks that it was thrown out of court.
No, it wasn't thrown out. Amazon tried to throw it out, but the court
said,
this is a valid case. And
yeah, that's true. Good. Then yay, down with the evil empire. Sorry.
Yeah. Amazon lost their motion to dismiss. So that case is something to watch, because Amazon completely loses and has to pay out, that means others are at that whole licensing is going to change, or that's going to be more upfront so people know ahead of time.
That's right. You own a license for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after that 5 years, your copy is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good.
So
all
paying
right, good.
$20
it was not
bucks
thrown
for
out.
A license
right.
that might go away.
Sucks.
Who's going to, you'll be thinking harder about how you spend that money.
Right, and you'll be thinking harder about buying a digital copy.
Yeah.
I won't buy a digital copy now unless, one, it comes with the actual Blu-ray physical copy that I'm buying. Or it's given to me as a gift. Or it is the cheapest price possible on Vudu, which is $5.
Yeah.
I'll spend $5 for a movie. But I will not spend more than that.
Yeah, I'm willing to rent the movies, but like digitally. But I'm not. I don't want to buy anymore or any.
Yeah,
I have a couple that I bought, and I don't know why.
Well,
I apparently have Elf through Google. I don't know when I did that, but I did it.
I think I actually have Elf also because it was part of a promo deal.
It must have been. I don't know.
And they were giving that away as a free movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so.
And I did buy all of the digital versions of all of Battlestar Galactica through Amazon. So
did you?
I did. Because I wanted to watch them repeatedly, and the Sci-Fi Channel app or whatever stopped having them, and I'm like, and I had to sign up for some other service to be able to watch them. Like, fuck that. So I just bought them all through Amazon.
Wow.
Because when I bought them, I didn't have way to play DVDs. So I couldn't, like, having the DVD wouldn't help me watch them.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
For those out, and I know that there are people out there who just don't give a shit.
Right.
And I understand that. I absolutely understand that because, like my movie poster collection, my collection of digital copies may or may not come down to just like 10 or 20 movies that I rewatch and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you own a big digital library like I do, you better keep watching this case.
Yeah.
Because you may be owed a fair amount of money. Or at least hold off on spending any more money until this case plays out.
Yeah.
And certainly don't buy that shit from Amazon. Go to another platform.
Or find a way to download it.
Come on now.
There's
are you
always
telling
some
people,
way to do something.
Are you telling people to go to
I would never tell people to do anything illegal.
You mean
Never.
Like the fact that I actually slid into somebody's DM and he sent me a link to view a 4-hour fan cut of Revenge of the Sith?
Oh,
you're not
geez.
Telling anybody to
Four
do.
Hours.
Yeah, I know it's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Because it's actually beautifully edited. He actually took bits and I know people. I know you're tuning out right now, like Bill's.
Like when is this gonna end?
Bill, like, shut the fuck up, Bill, and end the fucking show. But anyway, I will after this. He took bits and pieces of relevant storyline from Star Wars Rebels, the Clone Wars, all that stuff, and spliced it all into a master cut interweaving Revenge of the Sith to make a 4-hour version of it.
Jesus,
and I have it.
Christ. Okay.
But in no way, shape, or form would we tell anybody to go research any kind of torrent or a Reddit that would lead to a link to have you watch these movies free.
Never.
Absolutely. We would be irresponsible if we also said, you know what, if you have a friend who actually has a digital copy, get that code. You know, why would we say that?
Get
we are
passwords.
Responsible people.
Share them.
You know what?
Never.
Share passwords.
Never
why? Oh, God, that is so wrong.
Uh-huh.
We would never do that.
Never.
In this ever-changing world of greed and stuff, we would never tell you to just save your money and wait because it's all going to change again tomorrow.
So. Right. Never. Never would we do that, ever.
Never. We are so responsible on this show.
We are legally good people.
We are legally
ambiguous
enough.
Yeah, our alignment is lawful good. That is what we are.
That's right. We are lawfully good.
Yes.
We are so lawful. God, we're lawful.
Yep.
Anyway.
Lawful.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
We're so
I just
lawful.
Made myself laugh there.
Folks, go on to thewatchlistpod.com. Click on that contact us button. Or hit us up on the socials. Where do you stand if you give a shit about this whole digital thing? I would like to know. Did you watch the Oscars? Let us know what you think about that. And give us a suggestion of shit to watch. We would love to know about what's on your radar. Not digitally purchased or anything like that, but, you know, let us know. And then also hit us up on the socials, @PirateAlice, @BillIvoryLarson, @TheWatchlistPod, to just check in with us. Let us know you're listening, that you are a new subscriber. And please tell a friend and have them smash that subscribe button as well. My voice is shot now.
Uh-oh. Oh. Good thing we're wrapping up.
Good thing we're wrapping up. And everybody else out there is like, fuck, thank God they're wrapping up.
They're like, all right, I'm turning this
fucking
off.
Star Wars. Yeah, they've turned off like 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. And we will catch you next time. Okay,
bye.